And
Okay,
there you go. Now I'm being recorded.
yep, and I'm finished talking.
I turned it
Okay.
on because I wanted to record you. Keep going.
No.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Gerard. I knew somebody
Okay.
was listening to me back there. It's either usual John, Gerard, Jan, or just quietly listening and monitoring. And
Well,
then when I stick my foot in my mouth, they jump in and push me out of the way.
no, you make my I wait for my juices to flow, and that's what I depend on you guys to do. Get my juices. Look at, I
Well,
want to make a couple comments on some of the stuff you said about, you know, the
yeah, go
sheriff
ahead.
and the bigger, you know, the look at it's the bigger the county, the bigger the budget, the more the money, the more the political pull. Look at, it's all about money. It's all that's what got us into this, you know, as far as, you know, say money's the root of all evil. Well, in politics, that does rule. So, you know, they're going to, the bigger budget you have, the more they're going to have their arm around you, and the more federal funding, and the more, and the more corruption. So that's the problem right there. And the more pressure is on the guy. Because, look, you got a little podunk sheriff that does something, and they notice, but they don't notice. But you get somebody in, you know, in a big place like St. Louis or Denver, if he comes out and says something, people listen to him. He's got power. He's got how many constituents under him? That's a powerful thing. They worry about that. They want to control that because they understand that. You know what I mean? So it's up to us to put a sheriff in there that's constitutional. Now, as far as not being able to do anything from on the top, look, it's bringing the top down and the bottom up. This thing, when we kick off, and we are going to kick off here because we got a number now, and we're going to start going. We got to really organize. This is the new stuff that's coming up now. It's we got to whip everybody into shape because we're getting ready to go into the courts. But let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to go in. We're in the court and we're going after specific people, like Sheriff Ward. We're going to pull him down on a murder charge. When we pull him down and we get him indicted, what do you think that's going to do to all the sheriffs in the nation? You think they're going to pay attention? You see, so you're going to be able to go into your places now. If we get an indictment on him, well, we will get an indictment on him, and Donald Trump will cooperate with us. Believe me, when we get his attention on this, look at, we're Donald Trump's best revenge. You understand that, right?
Huh.
If Donald Trump pays attention to us and he starts using us for what we're supposed to be, it's a match made in heaven, man. So when we go in and we indict Sheriff Ward for murder because the buck stop should have stopped with him, and he's not the only one, but guess what? He's going to be the first one. When you go in and talk to your sheriff now, he's going to have a whole different attitude, isn't he? Because that's going to hit like wildfire. So don't discount what we're doing on the top. I agree that it all has to happen locally because you yourself don't have any power on the top, but you have power in your community. And NLA is the power that's on the top because we're in the federal court. But you're going to mirror it in your county. That's how this is going to work. Look at the Marxists and the communists. They did the bottom up, top down. That was, what's his name? Len Beck was preaching it there with what's that communist guy's name there?
Lenin and Trotsky?
No. The black guy. Very popular today.
Oh,
real
Malcolm
man.
X,
George Soros constituent. You know what I mean? I can't think of his name. It'll come to me. But anyway, that's his thing. You know, you bring the bottom up so they can bring the top down. And that, well, now guess what? That's now our strategy because we can do it, and we're going to do it. And that's why everybody has to be in a position. And they have to be educated, and they have to do their courses, and they have to know the constitutions, because guess what? We're going to take power. We're going to take power now. And are we ready? I don't think we're ready, but you know what? We better be ready. We don't have much time, because this is happening now, and it's time for us to jump on the bandwagon and get this stuff going. So once we get in the court and we run an indictment on Sheriff Ward, everybody better be talking. Once that hits the news, You all better be knocking on your sheriff's door, and then you'll see a different attitude that week. You know what I'm saying? So
no, excuse me, Gerard.
Yes. Go ahead.
I've got a question. Did you ever see the FOIA that I sent to Ward about wanting to know if they had brought in outside help?
Oh, yeah. I do believe I saw that. And
did
that's
you?
That's all stuff that when we get an indictment on him, he's going to have to answer. Well, we're not using anything yet until we go in. Yeah, we've collected all this evidence. And when we look at before we put an indictment in, before we go after him, that's all going to be in place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the stuff he needs to answer.
Yeah.
Now, we already know the answers because we've done a lot of investigation. We got a lot of people that have been talking, and a lot of people threw him under the bus already. So yeah, that's exactly the stuff that's going to hit. And so we got people that are doing stuff on a local level that, you know, it's a shame people don't brag more about what they're doing. What's his name up there in Illinois? He's on tonight. They're in their local groups backing him down on all kinds of local issues. He's not on here bragging every week, but they turned their town boards around, their Agenda 21s. They've had some real good victories, and that's going on all over the country. I mean, you know, our problem is we're not, you know, we don't blow our own horns. That's the problem. You know, when we have a victory, we don't have a good communication system yet, but we're putting up a TV station now. We're going to do, like, an NLA news. We're going to do live streaming. This is the new stuff that's coming out now. Ollie's got all kinds of money invested in green screens, and we bought a new studio, and this is breaking now. You guys better be ready because here it comes.
You guys going to do an informed New Hampshire type layout like you and John were talking about, Gerard?
Yep. And we're going to have people.
Gerard, it's too bad you didn't check with Dennis Michael Lynch. He's there in New York, and that's exactly what he's doing.
Oh, we probably end up
setting up the estate today.
We'll probably interview each other. You know what I mean? If he's a guy that's doing something, we'll help him get it out there.
Well, he was a newscaster on Fox. He was at the border, and he'll be testifying in Vegas here either this week or next.
Yeah, well, those are things we'll report on, and we may even invite him to come on and speak as a, you know, we may interview him on our news, on our live feed, we're going to have YouTube and we're going to have live feed. Obviously, you know, live feed you want for some, like, breaking news and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But we're going to also do, like, discussions, and we're going to put those little things on YouTube. Now, we worked real hard on, you know, Ryan's testimony, his first, they taped it. And it was a tape recorder that they use in the courts. And so what it has is it has like a 5-track mic system. The judge has a mic, the prosecutor has a mic, the defendants have a mic, and you can turn any one of them off. So you never have you can always hear what somebody's saying. It's a special feed because it records each one of them separately. And so when you go back, you can play each one of them back. You can shut one off if you want to hear what the other one's saying. So it was a little bit hard to crack into that in order to reproduce it, but we were able to do it. And so now we have Ryan's, I don't know what it is. It's about 7-8 minutes long, the beginning of his testimony where he starts. He opens with a prayer. I mean, this is unheard of. He opens with a prayer, and then he says, and Your Honor, if the prosecutor is going to testify, I want him to swear in on the Bible. He quotes the Constitution, and the judge is very, very receptive. They nothing like what was in Portland. You got to listen to this tape. It's a completely different atmosphere over there, and he comes off very, very professional, very sincere. And, I mean, how could you call this guy a criminal? Just the way he handles himself and the way he talks. And he just controlled the whole courtroom. This is great stuff. And so we got the first, I mean, it's 8 hours. It's a whole day of testimony that he did. They kept him there for a long, long time. And we got it all, and we're going to break it down into segments so that and throw it on YouTube, and people will be going to listen. Look, everybody east of, I don't even know, maybe even not even as far as Colorado, doesn't know what's going on out there. And the north, over here in the Northeast, they haven't got a clue. We start throwing this stuff out on Facebook and local on the Facebook channels and on the YouTube channels, and people up here get it. It's gonna start a fire. I'm telling you, because there's more patriots out there than you know. Look at right now, they've had control of the news media for years, and they keep feeding us only what they want us to know, and they make it look like there's a lot more of them than there are of us. And I'll tell you the truth, that's a lie, because it may be 50-50. I mean, you everybody think, oh, everybody's shot, everybody's lost. That's not true. You know, it's just that the ones that are shot and lost, it seems that they got the voice, and they've been controlling it. And so a lot of it is psyops. So once we get out there, and look, we got this other guy I'm going to go talk to. He wants to do local stuff with your local
somebody needs to turn the mic down.
Yeah, somebody's bleeding through. Yeah, thank you. Every little town has public broadcast stations. There are stations. We paid for them. They got to give us time on them for free. It's not, I mean, they're not free. Our tax dollars pay for them, and they're donated from people. So we need to, in our local community, start taking control of those stations. And instead of putting stuff like, you know, the kiddies play on it and all this other nice stuff that they got on that nobody's watching, we need to put the local issues up there that the local news doesn't talk about. You know, what's no local news talking about? They're talking about somebody that got accused of something and ruining their reputation before they even had a chance to go to court, and they're not really telling you what the real news is. They're just putting the sensational stuff out there. You know, they're not really reporting. They're just making noise and ruining people's reputation and running the status quo information that's out there, you know? So,
hey, Gerard, can you check the volume on your mic? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but can you check the volume on your mic? It seems like you're kind of faint. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing that.
Oh, let me see. I might be. I've been having a lot of trouble with this Skype. What's that?
We're hearing you good.
Maybe it's just on my end. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I could turn it up. I don't want to get up too loud. How's that? I just turned it up some more.
Sounds slightly better, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, those are all the things that we haven't done that we need to do that we're going to organize. Look, we need to be organized to do it. So our committees of safety need to organize themselves on the local level. You see, we're working on a national level with NLA, but at the same time, we should be working on the local level. So what we're going to build in NLA as far as our news feeds and all that, people should be mirroring us in their local place. They should be getting into their public broadcast stations, and they should. It's all set up. They got studios. I went down. If you've seen those videos that I did down in New York City at MMN Studios there, they had some videos of me. I got interviewed with Down the Rabbit Hole. That's a couple that's up from Woodstock here, and they went down, and they have a place down there in Manhattan, and he's been giving them trouble for years because he gets on, and him and they both have their own TV station broadcast, and they bring all the issues, and you know anything that they go after him for, he's up there putting it on the TV. They can't stand it. They just. Because it works, because now everybody can see it, and they don't work good under light. So we should take a lesson from that. We should start doing it. Now, they did try and give him – try to change his numbers of his stations, and when they moved around from this HD, they gave all new numbers, and they tried to push him out into a place where nobody would see him because they were so sick of him because – you know, they tried to arrest him for some stuff, and he's over there telling things about the judge on his TV station, and he's blowing their case up all over the place. So they really wanted to deal with him, and they actually did, and it happened to be that they were changing from the analog to the digital television, and they changed his number and gave him some kind of an obscure number. And I don't know how he made out with that. I didn't keep up with him. But I think at best it would only be a temporary thing until people figured out where he was. You know what I mean? So anyway, I just wanted to get out there that look at we can have more of an effect on the top end and the bottom end than you think we will if we're organized and we're working in unison. You know, Trump is out there swinging his bat, trying to do what he said he's doing, and when he realizes that we're down here swinging our bat, and he actually engages us for what we're supposed to do as a common law grand jury. Look at this thing. This thing can move so fast, make your head swim. Because the easy part is all we're doing is obeying the law. You see?
My mic is muted.
It's right there. We're not changing anything. We're just going in and obeying the law. So it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. We're saying, oh, here's what the law says, and here's what you need to do. And this is the law. And we need to do this before the Constitution falls. Once the Constitution falls, then we're done. But right now, that is the prescription, the book, the instruction manual that this country runs on, whether they like it or they don't like it, you know? So our time is now, and it does grow short, and we really need to engage, and we're going to have some rah-rah shush-kum-bob meetings to get everybody up and running, all our state coordinators and things, to get everybody on the same page here. Because we're ready to go to town right now, you know. And once we get in there and we put papers in and we start indicting inside the case, we better be ready for the fallout from that. That's all I can tell you. You know what I mean? And it's going to happen. And I hope everybody's ready. And I know there'll be a surge in committees of safety when that happens, when people start seeing, you know, all the movement. But, you know, let's get our committees in place so that we can teach them, and we're ready. When people come in, we're ready to show them how it's done. And, you know, look, you won't be able to show them how it's done if you don't know how it's done yourself. If you don't know what the Constitution says, you haven't taken the Constitution course and the civics course, and you don't have those things in your heart and on your lips, you're going to have trouble doing this. It's really easy, because once you learn those words, you can be like a genius. You know, you quote our forefathers' words in the right context, in the right place, people don't even know where they come from. They think you're a genius. They haven't been taught them. So once you learn what they said and you use them in the right place at the right time, forget about it. You're like a prodigy or something. They're like, well, where'd you hear that? Well, you know, you can tell them if you want. That's Jefferson. You know what I mean? That's Locke. That's this. That's that. That's our heritage. You know, that's our job. And that's what the Committee of Safety's job is. And you could do it on a local level. But NLA is certainly going to help the local effort by what we're doing on the national level, because especially the sheriffs are going to pay attention. When we get activated on the federal level going after local sheriffs that broke the law, how much easier do you think it's going to be to approach that sheriff?
Hey, Gerard, can I ask you a question regarding that, what you just said?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
It's David from Missouri. I fully believe that NLA on a national level will help the local committees of safeties, you know, once, like you said, the papers that have been filed start allowing for indictments to be issued and prosecuted. Is there any ideas on how that help will come, maybe like in the form of authorized press releases approved by the national level, of course, nothing that we did here on our own, so that there'd be continuity of the message, and then maybe like rebroadcast permissions of the national level TV programming that Ali and you guys are getting together.
Look at
some other tools or something like that, that would be kind of like a package of tools or something that could be used, or...
Well, look, at anything that we put out that's on YouTube, anybody can use. You don't even ask permission. You just do it. Because if we released it to the public, it's released. You don't need to ask us. You just take it and you use it. Now, if anybody's doing something in their local community that's really earth-shattering, you need to get a hold of us, and then we'll do an interview, and we'll throw it up there. You see how it'll feed each other. You know what I mean? So you could take this local issue, and we could turn it into a national thing. Look, we are in every state, and eventually, when we hit the social medias and the YouTubes and stuff, you know, we'll be able to have things go viral. And so then your local efforts will be magnified when you do them. And that's the plan. My fear is that we have success. I have a fear of success because I know we're not ready. Let's say Donald Trump comes in, hey, I like this common law grand jury. Okay, let's go over here. Okay, get in the courts. Okay, let's start indicting. We don't have the administrators with the knowledge to handle. You know how many people, you know what's, I mean, this is a swamp, and it is a mess, and we got to go through it. And we got to go through it with knowledge and mercy and justice. We got to know how to do it, because look, we can't put everybody in jail. You just can't do it. You know what I'm saying? We got to be creative. We got to clean this thing up, and we got to do it in such a way that we're not destroying ourselves. Look, when you have an infection in the body, you just don't go cut the infection out, because at some point you might cut the whole head off because the whole head's infected. Well, yeah, operation was a success, but the patient died. Same thing here. We can't go slashing and burning and saying we're cleaning up. We have to. The common law grand jury has to come out with solutions that are feasible and livable and doable. Look, at anybody that messed with little kids or anything like that, there's no question on that. We're not going to sit there and argue about what is, you know, and debate what is the meaning of is on those type of things. But the other stuff, you know, we're going to have to make some restitution, and we're going to have to, you know, be a little bit more benevolent than maybe people want you to be, only due to the fact that unless we're going to activate all those FEMA camps they put up to put these people in, we won't have room to put them all in jail, you know?
Hey, so, George, I always thought that movie Escape from New York with Snake Plissken and everything would have been a great idea. Just put all the scumballs, politicians and judicial people and CIA people and all that, and just throw them all out there on that island. But yeah, I think in retrospect, you're probably right. We can't be that harsh.
Isn't it amazing how they tell on themselves in the movies?
Yeah.
What they're telling us is that's what needs to be done. They know, you know, they created this system, and they're telling us this is the solution. Just stick them all down here. You know, it's really amazing what they mirror in the movies about what's going to happen and how it happens and how it, you know, and maybe it's the power of suggestion too, but, you know, a lot of it has to do with just common sense. One and one equals two. Look, you go down the road and you're dripping gasoline and throwing matches, you know, eventually you're going to see a fire, you know what I mean? And so that's what they're doing. They're just coming to the logical conclusion of the actions that are going on. They're making movies about it, and they're telling us about it. So, yeah, I mean, we're at a very exciting time because, look, I don't know what's going to happen to the world or when anything's going to happen or anything, but, look, America has a chance at this point to bring itself back. Out of all the nations in the world, we have this constitution that we can rely on, that we can use as the law and stick to the law and bring it back in and get all the fiction out of it and all the baloney out of it and really become very prosperous and very peaceful and be an example. You know, I don't know how long that'll take, but, you know, I'm going to tell you that once it starts happening, it's going to move fast. Because if you ever hear about rats from a sinking ship, some of that's going on right now, as a matter of fact. And the more pressure that we put on from below, the more Trump and them will get done from on top. You see, they're going after him with a vengeance. Well, we need to be going after them with a vengeance from below, and that will keep them disoriented, and that'll keep them off their game. You know,
well, I like you guys' Monday night calls when you and John and Brent Winters, you know, stress that it's the laws of nature, which is that common law you're referring to, but also the laws of nature's God. And how that combination of those two, I believe, will expedite Gerardo. You know, what we're all anticipating is on the verge of happening. The thing that scares me is that, you know, by and large, as a nation, we've forgotten the God of those laws of nature, and that thereby that's the only check I ever really have in my deep down in my spirit as to whether or not this thing will ever really come out to be like it did the first time. The first American Revolution was a divine miracle in my mind. You know, a bunch of ragtag patriot people going up against the British Empire and the Imperial British Navy and Army. I mean, it was supernatural in my mind, no doubt, the events that
absolutely,
took place.
Absolutely.
But that has to happen again if we're going to turn things around, because it's gotten that far out. I'm not telling you anything you don't
know. Well, we got one advantage. We got one advantage. We're not recreating the wheel. It's already
true.
Been created. It's here.
True.
And so we can put it back in place. We don't need new concepts. They're already there. I think it's Jefferson said, I know no other lamp to light my feet by the light of history. We have the advantage of history on our side. And so when somebody comes back and they say, well, you can't do that. Say, no. History already shows that we're right. You know what I mean? We're supposed to be more mature than that. We're supposed to be wiser than that. And are we? Well, you know what? I think those people that some people who are very lost, some of them are looking for leaders. Some of them are ready to convert. Some of them need to be brought into the fold, so to speak. They would come immediately if you just showed them and told them. They've been so beat up and so abused that when they hear justice and mercy, and they'll understand it and they'll see it and they'll come running quicker than you could imagine, because this system, this snake has eaten its tail, and its end is here. And don't forget, the finger of God is in this. God has said enough is enough. So we're not fighting alone here. We have a certain divine, I believe, blessing on this, because we're bringing back his laws. Do you think we're going to fail? I mean, you go back into history and see those little forces that beat the big forces, and how did it happen? It was a miracle. It was righteousness over darkness, and that's what we have to keep in our mind. And there's lots of people out there just waiting for the leaders.
Pardon me. I was going to dovetail in on that, what you said about these other people. Along the lines of, you know, I was talking to people after the election, and if they were liberal, I said, well, look, if you don't like the results of the election, let me tell you what you can do, because the president only has so many powers. Now, if you want to rein him in, then here's what you need to do. And I would tell them about NLA and stuff. And then if people did like the way it went, I said, well, look, he can't do it alone. We got to do this. And I would tell them about NLA. So these other people that we need to plug into, I came across this thing. I just thought it was interesting. And this is on the liberal side, but it's this thing called Mahente.net. And it's interesting. They have this thing called a community defense zone. But let me tell you what, looking at this starter guide for their community defense zone, it is nothing more than committee of safety. It's exactly,
there you go. Look, everything's a circle. A circle, isn't it? And there's that whole paradigm about what countries go through on that 200-year cycle. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I forget what the name of it is. There was a group going around and teaching it. You know, they go from tyranny to freedom to prosperity to apathy. There's these whole steps that every great civilization goes through, then back again to dictatorship, you know what I mean, and then back there. So this is, and it's generally around 200 years it takes.
Wow.
You know, so,
wow.
So,
okay.
And it repeats and it repeats and it repeats. So we know where we are on the circle, so it's up to us to, you know, I know many, many liberals, you know, wouldn't even think that we had anything in common, and then all of a sudden we get talking, and we find out that they're not so far off of what we want. that they're disgusted and they want freedom too. They just don't understand, you know, just like we don't understand how to get there sometimes. You know,
yeah,
and like you said, look at they say everything's ugly. Everybody agrees it's ugly. It's ugly. It's ugly. What are we going to do? All we're going to do is committee of defense. All we're going to do is committee of safety. Well, guess what? They're one and the same. What are we arguing about?
Yeah, it really is. It's MIJENTE.net, MIJENTE.net. Anyway, just type in community defense. Anyway, I haven't put it into action yet, but I'm thinking about contacting these people because they have a few branches down here in the South. Or connected to others like defense leagues for Hispanics and stuff like that. But it is truly that they just want the same thing that we do. They just don't know.
Absolutely. I'll tell you the other thing I used to do. I don't know that I do it to that much anymore, but I used to subscribe to all the radical news feeds, you know, Move On and this one and that one. I subscribe to all the real conservative ones and all the liberal ones, and I read both of them. And it's good to do that because it's good to get that in perspective. And that's where you'll find out where the circle comes together, where we meet. And you'll find out that some of those people aren't really as bad as you thought they were. You know what I mean? Instead of saying, I would never subscribe. I mean, look, if the FBI is watching me or the NSA and all that, a few years ago, they go, who is this guy? He's all over the freaking place. Well, yeah, because I want to learn. You know what I mean? It's a free country. I go into everything. Yeah, just because I subscribe to that and I get their news, it doesn't mean I'm one of them or it doesn't mean I agree or disagree. Look, it's a free country. I get to look at it whatever I want, right? So if they wanted to tell where I was by what I was subscribing to, they'd have a hard time, you know, because I was going in there looking at everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's super. And then one other thing, I also liked your analogy of the body and being sick. You can't, I mean, if half the body's sick, you can't cut out half the body because then, you know, you're going to die.
That's allopathic medicine. That's what they're doing to us today. But anyway, okay.
Exactly. You ever look at the allopathic medicine, the definition, or the osteopathic? The word heal isn't in either. It's not about healing. Anyway, I think that's interesting. But speaking of this healing, I'm sure you know this guy, but have you ever heard about Raymond Royal Rife, the fellow who cured cancer?
Yes.
Okay.
The Rife machine.
Machine.
I know about that. I studied homeopathy for 10 years. I've been in alternative medicine for as long as I've been alive because my parents were in it. So I was like probably 40 years ahead of my time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've been into all that stuff for many, many years.
Well, I was thinking that you know, instead of cutting out the body, we'll just, with knowledge and understanding above all else, we'll radiate. Well, that's not the proper term, but we'll shatter the virus cells and leave all the healthy cells.
Look at what heals a sick cell. Is what? Oxygen, nutrition. You could turn a bad cell into a good cell. You know what I mean? That's how healing takes place. You give it the proper nutrition, and when you have a pathogen in the body, most of those pathogens, they can't take good stuff. They can't take oxygen. That's what kills them. They can't take good vibrations either. You know, certain hertz kills them. We vibrate at a certain hertz, and when the body goes out of that vibration, then you have dis-ease. When it comes back into vibration, it's at ease. So that's you know, healing the nation is just like healing the body. It's very, very similar. There's a lot of correlations, and we have to keep that in mind. You know, we don't wanna do chemotherapy and slash and burn. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. We know that.
It's awful. It's awful.
Right, and you see, right now, what I think part of the plan was to convince us that we have cancer and that we need to cut it out, part of the shock and awe that they're going to give us so that we self-destruct ourselves, you know?
So
cut it out, you know what I mean? So pretty soon, you know, I mean, what's the whole idea behind the steroids? A steroid is an immunosuppressive, but why does that work so good? Because sometimes the immune system is overactive. You get an infection in the eye, you don't want it to suppurate, you don't want it to pus, because when it does, and it pushes the pathogen out of the eye and it makes pus, guess what? It just sacrificed the eye to do that.
Huh.
So we go in and we suppress the immune system on that level in order to save the eye. Now that's kind of an allopathic way of doing it, but there was a group out there that believed in purging and pushing everything out, and I forget the name of that type of medicine, and it works well in certain areas, but it doesn't work well in other areas. You certainly don't want to play that game on an eyeball or a brain, you know what I mean? You have to understand the whole system and how things work, and it's the same thing with our government. There's certain things that you have to get rid of right away, and there's other things. It's like the wheat and the tares. Let it grow for now, and let's get the rest of the system up, and then when it's strong enough, we can remove it. You see?
Yeah, super. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this then, and I'll wrap up here because I want to stay on point, but. With your 10 years of homeopathy study there, what do you think the odds are of creating another Rife machine that we might all be able to enjoy, or has it already been created?
Oh, it's been created. It's out there. They've been murdering people for years to keep that secret. But I understand there was a guy that did get the plans, and he did recreate it. I also was into, I don't know if you know Helga Clark. She was doing, we were making these machines where you hold on the thing, and it was AC and DC. You hold the two things, and it would put a charge through your body, and it would kill specific pathogens, And she believed that there was these parasites and things in the body that cause sickness. And it worked, I'll tell you what, because when you did it, you'd end up with a taste in your mouth because it was the die-off. And sometimes, there's another example. You'd kill these pathogens. If you kill them too fast, you get this horrible taste in your mouth, and eventually you get sick because those pathogens, when they die off, their bodies are poisoned, and your blood has to take them away. And if you kill too many of them too fast, guess what? You poison the system. And that's what we don't want to do with this country. We don't want to make so that we have revolution, okay? We want a revolution of the pen. We want a peaceful, we want a holistic healing, so to speak. I know I'm getting like, oh, love, love, but that's what it is, and that's what it's about. You can draw correlations from all of this. It really works. Look, it's all the big circle. It all works. It works in life, and it works in government, and it all goes back to that first cause. That the laws of nature, and nature's God. There you go. That's it.
And David, what he was saying, the founding fathers, they thought they knew the same thing. They knew it was a miracle. I mean, George Washington, and they knew that every other time throughout history, revolution turned to crap. But this one time, it actually worked. All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. That's fine. Anyway. I drawing a blank now for a second, collecting my thoughts. Anybody else have anything? Who's that?
Did you think of that fella? The black dude that's the communist from today? I don't know who you're talking about.
I'll think of it in a minute. Yeah, he's
Karl Marx.
Van Jones.
No. Van Jones. There you go. Who said that? That's it. Van Jones.
Thank you.
Jones is he's a little probably my age or younger. He's probably in his 50s, but he's a communist through and through. Marxist or whatever you want to call him. So, I mean, I don't know. Look at all these people we have, all these celebrities that they get off on they're good to a point, and then they go off the wild blue yonder. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I never liked Glenn Beck, and then he was starting to do that Constitution thing, and he pushed the 5,000-year leap book, and that convinced me that he wasn't one of them because he did more damage to them, And it's like when they accused Jesus of using the devil to cast out devils, and he said, hey, a house divided can't stand. And that's what I say about Glenn Beck. A house divided, look, at he can't be one of them because he did too much damage. But then he went off the deep end, and he's off on another tangent because, look, at we're human, and we're susceptible to certain things and certain agendas, and that's what happens. You know, you can't.
What's he on now?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to get in a discussion with it, but I just know that he, well, for one thing, he's dead against Trump, has been. You know, I don't know why. I haven't followed him in a couple of years because he started saying things that started aggravating me, and I couldn't watch him anymore, you know. But when he was doing the whole Constitution thing, I was right on it. I bought the 5,000-year leap book and all the other stuff he did, and I think he was the birth of this Tea Party movement. Look at he got how many million people to Washington? Not that it did any good, but it did ignite a fire that brought us to where we are today, you know. And what it did was it showed the other side that we're still out here, and we're still got the candle. We're still holding on to that the faith of the Constitution. And you see, that was a very damaging thing for them, you know. Look at if he was working for them, what he did was he showed them that they weren't as far as they thought they were. You see, that was a good thing, you know. And I don't believe he is working for them. I just think that he's human, just like we are. Look at, he admits it. He was an alcoholic. He was this. He did all this repentance thing, and he did. And then somebody put their arm around him, and I don't know what happened with him or why. I don't know if it's a philosophical thing, a religious thing with him, or whatever he's doing. But, you know, why would you? I mean, look at, I was against Donald Trump being when he first decided to run. I said, look at, do we want this guy, this billionaire, as a president? I said, we've been around the world beating up countries, taking them over with our economic hitmen, using this capitalism that we claim that we're the greatest nation with the capitalism. I said, and now we're going to get a guy who's a multi-billionaire that's used all the tools that we've used to take down all these countries. You know, we convinced China that capitalism was good, and what's the first thing we did? We sold them a bunch of bad debt. My goodness. I mean, I'm not for the Chinese communists, but I'll tell you what, they should have come over here and kicked our asses for that one, you know? Yeah. And then we had to run over there, and we had to say, don't worry about it. We've got collateral. We'll give you all the resources, the coal, the this and that. And they said, that's very nice, but when we go to collect it, you got to get rid of the guns. When Obama went over there, that's the conversation that he had. So you see, and I was against Trump because I figured, look, at, do we want a corporate fiction billionaire representing America? In my mind, that was the problem. But then he started coming out, and I realized that he was Logan. He was not controlled by them, and he was a free thinker. And look, I don't agree with everything he says either. He's on this civil forfeiture. He's got to be educated. He's got some wrong ideas about things because he's got certain people whispering in his ears, you know? Yeah. And that's up to us. It's our job to educate him because he's educatable. These other guys have never been educatable. And so, out of all the things he's doing, so he did 10 things, and look, at 8 of them were good. Okay? I'll go with that. Me too.
Yeah, we got to get him on asset forfeiture and non-judicial foreclosures. We got to teach him that stuff.
Right, and we will. I'm sure that'll happen. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of, you know, he's got a lot of noise in his head right now, and I think once we get in the courts and once we can start filing some indictments inside the case, and start reading our stuff, I think, look, at every paper we write is educational. It's got footnotes. It cites everything. It's constitutional. You know what I mean? And there's no reason for him not to get it, you know, at that point.
Right on.
Okay. And he's smart. He's not stupid. He's smart.
Yeah, he is.
So anyway, I had people that would not vote for him. I got a relative of mine. I won't say who because I don't want to start a family feud here on a national thing, but he was not going to vote for Donald Trump because Donald Trump's this and that. And I wasn't going to vote for him either. But then when he got up there, and I didn't watch any of the debates except for the last one because I refused to watch the stupid talking heads on television. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would write in Donald Duck's name before I vote. As a matter of fact, I didn't vote for the last couple of presidents for a long time. I haven't voted for a president since Ronald Reagan. And I voted, I think, for Ross Perot was the last one I voted for. I didn't vote for the first Bush or the second Bush because I knew they were no good. And I just wrote a name in, you know, because I knew. I knew they were no good. But nevertheless, when Donald Trump was up there debating with her, what happened was it ended up being more of a good versus evil to me. It was clear in my head, this is good, this is evil. It seems like the Lord made it very clear, the line in the sand. When he stood up there and he said, if you vote for her, you get the woman that wants to stick the scissors in the back of the baby's head until the day of the last day of gestation. There's no more question in my mind anymore. Who's the lesser of two evils here? He just wants to defend the baby. She wants. She's evil. She's evil in incarnate. And I told him, I said, you've been voting for the lesser of two evils all your life, and all of a sudden you're going to become so pure that you can't vote for him. I said, you're crazy. If you let this crazy woman get in there, we're done. We're dead. I said, I'm going to get on a boat and go to Russia. I think I got better chances over there than I do over here.
Hmm.
With her as president, you know?
Yes, he would have brought it to the end, for sure.
Forget about it. At least, you know, in Russia, it's more like the Wild Wild West now. They got capitalism. It's easier to start a business over there than it is over here now. You got the Russian mafia, but you know what? You get a bigger gun than them, at least you got a fighting chance. Over here, forget about it. You got the whole government.
Yeah.
You got the SWAT team at the door because you didn't file for a permit or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess they're about 100 years back of us in that 200-year cycle or so.
They're tired. And they're not – we don't need the boogeyman anymore. You see, this government, they always need the boogeyman. They want – if it can't be Russia, then it has to be Cuba. And if it's not Cuba, then it has to be this one. It has to be that one. It's all lies. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's a lie. They never could hurt us. And, I mean, Russia could have, but that went away. And then they had it. Look at that. The military-industrial complex, they had to figure something out. So they knocked the towers down. And believe me, they knocked the towers down. There's no doubt in my mind, and nor should there be anybody doubt in anybody's mind, that was done by the Bush, Cheney, and the New World Order team. Because at that point, they knew they had no more boogeymen. They couldn't lose. And they hid $2 trillion that they stole for their shadow government and all that. They cleaned up a lot of stuff with that 9/11, you know. But they couldn't resist making it the biggest short sale day in the history of the stock market on the airlines. That proves that they knew what was going on because they bet against those airlines that got hijacked because they knew their stocks were going to fall. And they couldn't help making money on one last thing as they did their nasty, dirty deed, or could they? Because that's the way it
is. That's the way it is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to – look, this is about committees of safety, and it's all – we need to educate ourselves. We need to organize. And part of the organization is the national cooperating with the local. Very nice.
Well, I'd love to have that strength to talk to my sheriff. I mean, I know I need more than myself at this point, but when the indictments start coming in, I think I'll feel a little more bold than I do right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to make life much easier for you, and you'll be able to point to some of our paperwork. And look, if he doesn't look at that and read that, then shame on him. Look, he's going to reap the consequences of not paying attention, you know. Because I don't think that's going to survive anymore. I think people have had enough. Now, not to say that there aren't areas where you got a bunch of crazy liberal people that kind of somehow like the evil stuff that's going on, but
yeah,
you know,
it fits them real well.
Well, you know, they think it does, but in the long run, it really doesn't. If you could show them the results of what they are sowing, when they reap, they don't even realize. you know, you go and ask these people what they're doing and why they're doing it, they can't even talk to you. They can't even articulate why they're doing it because they're robots. The ones that are, they have people programmed because they got their heads in the television and in their electronics all the time, and they haven't been taught how to think. So, you know, the other thing is we got major sections of children that have dropped out of school that have no education. And let me tell you what, in a certain sense, it's a good thing because those people, they're trainable. They haven't been brainwashed, have they? My daughter dropped out of high school, and then she decided that, gee, I need a high school diploma. And so she went to take a GED diploma. And I don't know who did the GED in New York here, but let me tell you what. There was a group of professors that wrote it, and these guys were conservatives. And they didn't pay attention to them, I think, because they said, they're writing for the dropouts. Let them go. What these guys realize is that a large percentage of the students that drop out of the high schools and stuff are because these kids could not be dumbed down. They were bored. They were disgusted, and they didn't give them anything. And so they wrote a program. I was reading the work that they gave her. I couldn't believe it. They were teaching them how to think. They were teaching them the difference between allopathic medicine and regular medicine. They were saying, you're on your way to school, and somebody bumps you with a car, and he says, "Don't, I'll take care of it. What do you do? Do you do this and do you do that? And how do you know he's not lying and this and that?" They had different scenarios that you never hear in the public schools. Whoever took care of that GED, well, they've changed it now. I guess they caught up with them. It was a real quality education. So somebody targeted those disenfranchised students and gave them a good GED education. So they're out there. They're out there. So we do have people that are out there that are not brainwashed. And all those ones that are out and in the streets, and we think that they're the refuge, guess what? We can work with them because they haven't necessarily been infected as deep as the ones that we think are good little students, and they're paying, you know, they're doing the right thing and going to school every day and taking their Ritalin and doing everything that the establishment wants them to. It's like that movie Frequency where you got to take your pill every day. I don't know if you ever saw that. You know, to keep you controlled, and that's what they have. So you know, maybe those people that you everybody's turning their nose up at, and they wouldn't be caught dead with because they got tattoos scraped in their arms and stuff because they're so depressed and so, you know, disenfranchised. They're probably a better patriot when you educate them than the person that's had their head in the establishment's book all this.
That's true. Damn straight. Yeah, I never saw Frequency, but I did see Escape from New York. Loved that movie. That was good.
Right. So, look, these are all things that you got to keep in perspective here as we're doing this fight, when you're doing your committee of safety, when you're talking to people, you know, and so, but one of the things we want to make sure that we're on board with everything that's going down with the NLA as far as our civics course, our constitution course, we want to push people there first. We want them to know what the law is. How are they going to rule themselves if they don't understand these things? You know, the schools have failed them, and we're kind of that last, we're that bastion. Not to say that there's nobody else out there doing it, but I think ours is easier than a lot of them. You know, there's some constitution courses and stuff out there. I've seen them, and they're just so dry and so hard, you know what I mean? They get into too much stuff, maybe. I think ours is pretty easy, you know. I took Michael Bagnarik's early on. Michael Bagnarik's didn't have
constitutional content. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what it did? It put it in your heart. It was very, which was almost just as important, if not more important, than knowing the chapters and verses, because his thing was, it's good to be king. That's his concept, because we're all kings. And how do you get that concept across? And he did give you the chapter and verse of the Constitution that said that, but he convinced you, and he showed you of what it was and how it should be. I mean, there's a guy that drove around with no plates on his cars, and he'd take them to court, and finally, look, he'd go anywhere in his county, they wouldn't touch him. because they couldn't beat him in court. And they had a thing out. Leave him alone. Don't bring him
beautiful.
In here. You know what I mean? He lived what he taught. He did. It's good to be king, and he lived like a king. He's a great man, and he's a modern day forefather patriot. He really is. And I'll tell you what, when I got done with his course, I mean, I always knew I was free, but I knew why. I knew the words that made me that way. You know what I mean? It's you know, it's like when you teach a little kid his prayers at first. You know, you put things in order. You know, now I know why. You know what I mean? So, very important, and that's what we should be about. You know, let's get this idea in people's hearts and minds. Look, you can't put it on your lips until it's in your mind and in your heart. Then you can articulate it. Once it's in your heart and it's in your mind, then you don't have to think about the words. They just come out, you know?
Yeah. Cheers.
Hang on, I need a drink. I'm going to lose my voice. I've been talking too much. Anyway, well, we're coming up on 10 o'clock, so if anybody's got anything, you better jump in because it's about an hour long, and I can close down if we don't have anything else earth-shattering.
This is Jim from PA. You're right about dropping out of school and stuff like that. A lot of people with school errors.
Get closer to your mic. I'm having trouble hearing you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now, sir?
Oh, now you're too loud.
Okay.
Now you're pulling my head. There you go.
Yeah, I don't mean my voice is really deep. Yeah, I understand what you're saying about dropping out of school.
I'm losing you again. Losing you. I can't hear you.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I'll try this again. There's a lot of people out there that has dropped out of school that is my age and older that are not really dumped on, and we got kids that we even try to talk to that we can't get nothing through their head, and they got degrees, bachelor degrees, master's degrees. They still can't see the light, and it's really devastating to some of us parents.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and some of those, if they go to college, they're lost because the college professors spend their whole time telling them how stupid their parents are and how you can't do what anything they say because we're better than that, we're bigger than that, and they don't know anything. You know, that's part of the education that they give them. You know,
yeah.
So. And then what happens is they end up learning the hard way. They're going to get the whole school of hard knocks there, you know. Unfortunately, you know, if they go through college and they get a good education and they're making money, you know, when you have enough money, it's easy to live in this. It's easier to live in this system because you can buy your way out of the problems that the average person can't. So you don't get burnt as quickly. You know what I mean? So, you know, it feeds that whole thing and it creates a class system, two classes, you know, the privileged and the non-privileged, the educated, the non-educated, you know what I mean? Meanwhile, I see some of the paperwork that the lawyers turn out. It's disgusting. They're college educated, you know? I mean, it's unbelievable that they're out there doing what they're doing. You know, they're not practicing law. I don't know what they're practicing, but they can't write a paper even, you know. So I don't know why they think they're so educated, you know.
I don't know if it's practicing law or if it's all in Latin, which is kind of a curse.
Yeah, well, they're not even that. They're not even that educated. I don't know. I mean, they just, you know, no, it's called going in and doing backroom deals because they all know how it is. And so it's beyond that. You know, used to be you got out of law school and then you had to go work under somebody and you had to learn court procedure because they don't teach it in law school, really. You got to work under a lawyer. And then you didn't become a litigator until you were many, many times in and out of court, and you were watching and learning. Now, the only thing you do is, you know, you go in, the judge, the prosecutor, everybody, it's about how much money's on the table and what can we suck out of this and what kind of deal can we make. Nobody's practicing law. You know what I mean? Law's got nothing to do with it. And if law's got nothing to do with it, then we don't have to worry about writing our papers and what they look like. First of all, they don't want to write any papers. They don't want anything on the record. It's all off the record anyway. Very rarely do things ever go all the way through a court system because they're always trying to kill it before it gets to trial. They don't want to set precedent on these things, you know? It's about how much can you afford to pay and how much money's in the account, you know? That's what it is. But, you know, it's up to us to turn that around. And the thing is you know, one of the things is getting in the courts ourselves and learning how to navigate there. And that's one of the things that we're going to prove that you don't need to be a bar attorney to be in the courts. That's part of our case, too. You know, I don't know if you know that or not. We're going after the bar. That what gives this foreign corporation club the right to say who can come to the court and who can't? Where did they get that authority? It's not in the Constitution, I can tell you. As a matter of fact, it was in there before that if you were a bar attorney, you shouldn't be running for office. Yes.
Doesn't that break the principle of titles of nobility? There shall be no titles of nobility, and they take that upon themselves?
Absolutely.
The bar. Yep.
That's right. That's right. There should be. It's a problem because they have an oath to a foreign entity, and so they should not be. They should. That's a conflict, is what it is. And I mean, there was a 13th Amendment that they hid, but besides that, that's still in there. The titles of nobility, right? So, look, it's up to us to reinstitute all that, and that's how we're going to fix it. I mean, just getting the attorneys out of politics would probably fix it. You know what I mean? Just that one thing alone right there would take care of a multitude of sins. But, you know, look, it's easier for us to do that on a local level, you know? And what NLA's doing on a national level will support that, and what you do on a local level will support NLA's national work, you know. So it truly is a Van Jones. We're going to turn the tables on Van Jones. We're going to say, thank you very much, Van Jones. We're going to bring the bottom up, and Trump's bringing the top down. Thank you for that, because that was his thing. Bring the bottom up, top down, you know. But that was his prescription for socialism, for communism. So now we got to use that, and we're gonna make it for freedom now, aren't we? So anyway, Monday's meeting. You know, Monday will be a good meeting. We're gonna have a meeting with all the before the meeting, and we're gonna start really stressing the organization of what's going on here and who's who and who's in a position of leadership. Who's doing what? What are you doing? Here's what we got going, and we're going to really start organizing big time, because we're going to start right now. We got a bunch of papers to file, and it's like once we pull the trigger, we can't pull that arrow back. You know, we let go of that string, and that arrow's flying. We can't haul it back. So we better be ready. And I'm telling you, I have a fear of success here. Because I know we're ready. I know that the country's ready for success, and I know that we can get a modicum of success. But the thing is if we're not ready, the vacuum that's going to come, anything could go in then, and we can end up the second condition could be just as bad or worse than the first that we came out of. We got to be careful because. Look at, you know, like if we went in and slashed and burned and put everybody in jail and stuff, and then we got all these empty spaces, and we go out in the street and try to fill them, what condition do you think this country would be in if we had to go and put want ads in for judges and prosecutors and things like that? what do you think this, you know, what do you think would happen? I don't know. Maybe it would be better. I don't know, because these guys are so entrenched. At least the new people coming in wouldn't know all the nasty tricks that they know. But it would be chaos. It really would be. So let's try to get our local communities sort of locked down in a certain sense that we're active and we're operating. And it doesn't take that many people to keep a community straight. It really doesn't. You know, especially not the rural ones, you know. I mean, people that are in the bigger cities, although you do, you know what you have in the bigger cities is you have your precincts and your wards. So, okay, so you can't influence your whole city, but you can influence your precinct. You can influence your ward, and that's how you start, you know. And that's what I would concentrate on. I would concentrate on my local area and my local politics, because even the cities have local things that go on in their communities. You know, you have local issues. You have neighborhood watch. You know, look, a neighborhood watch could be the beginning of the Committee of Safety. And like you said, there's that other group there. They're talking about, you know, doing their own thing. They're liberal and this and that, and yet they sound like us because they have the same issues we have. You know, it's about safety. Where's our safety? It's in our neighbors. It's in us. Only the people. It's up to us to do it. So we gotta start doing it now. We're gonna give you NLA is the tools. You gotta use the tools that we have, and I can't hardly wait for this TV station and this live streaming and this YouTube stuff to take off, because I'm going to be doing a lot of the narrating and reporting, me and Ollie and whoever else comes in. And so I hope you guys are ready, because when that stuff starts getting viral, you need to use it, you know, it's going to be there. And so you want to be able to capitalize on anything that gets out there that you can capitalize on locally. And that's all I'm going to say.
I'm all for making America great again, only like America can make America great again.
That's right. So let's do it. So I think I'm going to end now. It's been over an hour, and I think we covered enough stuff. And let's see what we can do here. The next two, it's going to be probably going to be 2 weeks before we can do anything with the TV station and that. If you go out to, oh man, I should have been more prepared for this. We have the video up on Ryan's thing already. And if you go on YouTube, what is it? You should go on there and you should subscribe, should like it. Everybody here, and you should tell everybody to do the same thing. That will help us kick this off. And hang on, let me see if I can find out the YouTube. If you go on YouTube and you put in, what the heck is it?
NLA News.
Well, NLA News is going to be the live stream, but the one with Ryan is actually, if you go in and Google NLA News, You'll find the YouTube site that has the 7 or 8 minute tape of the transcript of Ryan talking, or actually the live audio of Ryan Bundy testifying. Yeah, if you Google that, it should come right up, right? And
yep.
And you'll find it right there. Go on that video, and when you play the video, hit subscribe and hit like, and just get it out there. Put it on, you know, send it around. That's only 7 minutes of a whole 8-10 hours of testimony. And we're going to put it all up there in sections. It's going to be cool.
It's only 5 minutes and 43 seconds.
There you go. And that's what we figure. Look, people don't want to listen to 8 hours, but we'll give it to them at 5 minutes at a time, won't we? You go in and listen to that. It's pretty powerful stuff. And we're not going to do the whole 8 hours, but we're going to probably pick the best highlights of it. You know what I mean? We don't need 8 hours. We don't need all the bull crap. You know what I mean? But you listen to that where he talks and just see what you think. And it gives you an idea of the type of stuff we're going to be able to do with this new technology that we're instituting. So I want everybody to like really plug into this and really start to push this stuff, because it's going to make your jobs easier. Believe me, it's going to be so much easier when you got stuff like this that you can hand out and you can send people. Well, go here. Look at this. Look what we're doing here. Listen to that. Look at what he said here. Look at the whole idea is to get the word out, you know? So just stay tuned and let's get yourself a couple of people, you know, in the next couple of weeks, because you're going to need them. You're going to need them. Believe me, this thing's going to start falling like dominoes. I hope everybody's ready. Get I don't care. Put an ad in the newspaper if you have to. Hire help. You're going to need them. It's going to happen. All right?
God bless. Good evening, people.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to end now. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
See you next week.